Hello, everyone. Today's devotion is from Revelation chapter 19. Again, that's Revelation chapter 19, and I'll read that for us. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For his judgments are true and just, for he has judged the great prostitute, who corrupted the earth with her immorality, and has avenged on her the blood of his servants." Once more they cried out, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who was seated on the throne, saying, "Amen! Hallelujah!" And from the throne came a voice saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great." Then I heard what seemed to be a loud voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead, "Come, gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great." And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh. In the previous chapter, we read about the destruction of Babylon. Babylon representing the wicked cities and nations that lured many into its depravity and killed the people of God. And there were people, friends of this Babylon, who mourned at Babylon's destruction and receiving of divine judgment. Here in today's chapter, we see the opposite side. There's this juxtaposition between chapters 18 and 19, where in chapter 18, we see these friends of Babylon mourning Babylon's destruction. And here in chapter 19, the people of God and all of heaven are rejoicing and praising God because of the same occurrence. The word hallelujah is used four different times in just the first six verses, this praising and extolling God for his judgments that are true and just against Babylon. Then we see a glimpse of the marriage supper between the Lamb and his bride, an occasion that's so wonderful and perfect as Christ and his people come together in unity. And it's at this point that we come to the beginning of the climax of the book of Revelation, the second coming of Jesus. When Jesus came to earth the first time, it was defined with humility and mercy. By suffering and dying on the cross, Jesus made a way for people to become adopted into the family of God, to become God's people through faith. Now, as Jesus comes to earth the second time, the agenda is quite the opposite. Judgment and terror is waiting for those who have rejected Christ. At this point, after all of the clear warnings and the imploring to repent have passed, now there's no mercy. Verse 15, from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On this fateful day, Jesus will be loudly and definitively made known as the true King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Yet, even after this, we read in verse 19 that the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against Jesus. This just goes to show how solidified the beast and the rulers are in their rejection and hatred of Jesus. Even when their utter defeat is so obvious, they still take up arms against the holy and righteous King of Kings. The end for the wicked is clear, a horrifying, definite defeat. What can we glean from this passage? Firstly, unprecedented celebration and joy is just around the corner. All of heaven, including us as God's people, will celebrate, cry out hallelujah at the righteous judgment of God on the wicked. Thank the Lord, we will not be on the receiving end of this judgment, but rather we will come together in perfect harmony with Christ. So wonderful that it's described in this passage as a marriage. So that's one, celebration and joy is coming. Secondly, wickedness and corruption will be dealt with once and for all. The second coming of Christ is cause for celebration and praise to God, but at the same time, horrific to those who reject him. Judgment will be swift and definite, a necessary process for the new Jerusalem. A renewed world where evil is completely done away with is not a fairy tale, but a vivid reality that is soon to come. Evil will most undoubtedly be wiped away for good. Let's have confidence in the righteous work of God. Let's pray. Lord, we are eager for this day when all of heaven will shout your glory as we are unified with Christ and evil crumbles under your righteousness. We acknowledge and praise you for your perfect judgment that will be cast onto the wicked. And even though we, as your children, wait on you as we enjoy your mercies through Christ, help us, Lord, to stay alert, to live this life not in passive waiting for this day, but in active obedience to the work of ministry you call us toward, that all may hear of the grace of God before it's too late. So Lord, we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.